Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, hanging out with us all week long here. Got lots going on still. It's a Thursday, which means we got Book It coming up in 10 minutes. The latest NFL news and notes, which we know now more than ever as we look towards this weekend, finding out who will and won't be available, especially when it comes to COVID-19. Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, going to join us in a half hour to get us all caught up on that. And Amber, we will also get back to some calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've been asking everyone today here, very originally, often imitated, never duplicated, caller topics around here at Canty and Golic Jr. What is your holiday Christmas wish for your favorite team in sports? And I feel like this is one where we really need to serve the listener. Like Mitch in Indiana, who has been waiting on hold with us. Mitch, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. Who's your team and what's your wish?
My team is Detroit Lions, and my wish is that they get some players in the draft that can be playmakers for next year.
You know what? I appreciate that wish. I appreciate that he stayed on hold long enough to end up in the grocery aisle somewhere around a bunch of loud noises, Amber. But honestly, for a Lions fan, like, quarterback of the future seems like it would be a good place to maybe lean in this upcoming draft. You know it's not going to be Jared Goff. That love affair seemed to have been very short-lived if the flame was ever there at all. But you got a team that's played hard all year with some good young players, especially up front.
Yeah, it's a simple wish. It's a wish that makes a whole lot of sense. They absolutely do need playmakers. I know a lot of people are really high on that coaching staff. I'm not necessarily as sold on the coaching staff, but I do think that obviously playmakers would help any team, and particularly a Detroit Lions team that is in desperate need of them. I also appreciate Mitch hanging out long enough. And I imagine Mitch just like sitting in his car forever on hold, and then he thinks, you know what? There, I'm on hold so long. I'm just going to run in and grab that milk that I need for Christmas Eve. I'm just going to pop in real quick. It's fine. And he does that at the exact moment you go to that call.
Well, Amber, I didn't think about this. What if he was in the mall? Because we're at like the 0 hour, right? Like I had to go to the mall this morning for like, you know, one of those, we talked about it, the white elephant game where you bring up, you know, grab bag present there. I had to go and try and find that at the mall today. And so it is a not yet the full, like full-throated scrum that we normally see the day or two before Christmas, but it was starting to get to that point, Devin.
Well, here's the thing. Added layer to this whole thing, and I've discovered this, the subscription gift. That is something that you can do on Christmas Day.
Like, oh, that's true. Like that's solid. I've done that before. Like the wine of the month club, that kind of stuff.
Masterclass. Like you can give that on the day.
Can you, like, is giving someone the gift of like Masterclass, is that something that like, would you enjoy getting that gift?
So my brother actually gave it to me for my birthday 1 year. And it's got some good stuff on there, like the cooking stuff. Like I actually tried to, Gordon Ramsay was, you know, teaching me how to use wine in my dishes.
Was.
You never want to use a wine that you're not going to drink, you know, outside of the food.
Oh, see,
really? I thought it was the opposite. I thought you could use weird wine and food.
You can, but I guess you're just on, you know, I'm on another level.
Bitch built different, I guess. That's why you're learning in the master class here. The rest of us are trying to figure it out here. So there you go. Life hacks, courtesy of Debbie Gifts. Always go the subscription route if your back is up against the wall. Great advice. Always worthwhile in the holiday season. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We will take more of your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The one gift you want for your favorite team this upcoming year. But Amber, as we sit right now at the end of this season, we've got our current division leaders, which for the most part feel like they're going to hold, right? The Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West feel like a good bet. The New England Patriots, we probably feel good enough about here down the stretch. But
yeah, I feel better about the Bills, but either way, they'll take it back tonight. They'll take it back this weekend, but either way, I think we're at a point where, you know, we at least are close enough when we're talking about these divisions where we have an idea who's winning them.
All right, so you know what, Amber, with that in mind, current snapshot as we sit here getting ready to go in Week 16. The division leaders are Kansas City, New England, Tennessee, Cincinnati, Green Bay, Dallas, Arizona, and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. of those eight teams here, most likely to disappoint and break their fan base's heart down the stretch of this season?
Well, I think the Tennessee Titans is an easy one, and it's not really to any fault of their own, because I think that we'd still be considering that team a Super Bowl contender had that team been able to stay healthy. But not only does Derrick Henry go down, and then frankly, they performed better in his absence than I thought they were going to, just because I do know about the Ryan Tannehill experiment down in Miami for so many years, having covered him and watched him play for those 7 years. And with Ryan Tannehill, he's a good quarterback, but you know, he's not one of these quarterbacks that's going to overcome a lack of help in the backfield. He needs help around him. He needs the right pieces. If he's on the right team, he looks great. If he's on the wrong team, he looks bad. That's most quarterbacks in the NFL. It's not even a huge knock on Tannehill, but missing a key piece like Derrick Henry, I was surprised that they initially looked as good as they did. And then he continued to miss key pieces, and Brown goes down for weeks, and Julio Jones hasn't worked. Everything that's happened with that team, and then now COVID, and they're decimated by that. I just think it's all been too much. So they would be one that I think could disappoint, and again, no fault of their own necessarily. I think the Cardinals could disappoint at this point. I would imagine where the expectations were in that for that fan base, certainly through the first half of the season, and maybe after what happened against the Lions, they have come back down to earth a little bit. But that feels like one of those teams that has been a good team in the regular season here that is not necessarily going to have the experience to actually get it done in the postseason. And then for me, also the Patriots. I know that's going to surprise people. Again, I don't even necessarily think they're going to win this division, because I actually think the Bills are going to beat them in this upcoming game. But nevertheless, if it was to hold for the Patriots, a rookie quarterback, we saw those cracks against the Colts. It's not a knock on Mac Jones. He's been phenomenal for a rookie, but he is at the end of the day a rookie. And people talk about the Patriots like they're going to a Super Bowl or winning a Super Bowl. And that's something a rookie quarterback has never done for a reason.
Well, I would say this, Amber, like the expectation part of this is interesting to me, because for the New England Patriots, is the expectation, you know, was the expectation, should I say, truly, hey, they were going to get back to the Super Bowl this year. It feels like they're playing with foul money. Now, maybe because of the standard in New England, it starts to feel like, all right, if they get in, the Super Bowl is going to be the only thing that matters. But I think the foundation you've set already seems to be the win for them. Like, if you told me the Patriots went into the playoffs and won a playoff game and then got bounced, I would say that's a successful season, and I could very easily see them winning a game on wild card weekend.
I mean, I'm fine with that analysis, but I don't feel like that's where most of the analysis has been. I mean, I felt like going into this season, the analysis was the team, all the opt-outs are opting back in, and the moves that they made, they finally spent the money in the offseason, and they're Super Bowl bound if Mac Jones looks good. And then, lo and behold, he looked pretty good. And so then the analysis went to, they're Super Bowl bound. I feel like that's where the narrative is around the Patriots. I tend to agree with you. Like, there's no shame in them winning a playoff game and then not making it the rest of the way. I guess I just feel like it's where the expectation is. And it has a lot to do with who the Patriots used to be, not necessarily who they are.
Yeah, that's always going to be baked into this. And that's what makes this fascinating. At Mike Golic Jr., at Amber W790, as we look around and see who is primed for a holiday letdown. Because that's, you know what? Let's say, that's not the energy that we want to keep. I was going to make that joke. The energy we want is positive. That's why we want to hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on your Christmas wish for your favorite team. Let's get one in. Let's go to Ben in Florida. Ben, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. Who's your team? What's your wish?
So my team is the Indianapolis Colts, and my wish is for a quarterback that can push the ball down the field accurately and compliment the MVP of the league, Jonathan Taylor.
You know what, Amber? This is going to be interesting for the Colts, because Carson Wentz is under contract for next season. Also, Carson Wentz, in this major win for the Colts last weekend against the Patriots, was only asked to throw the ball, what, 12 times in that game?
I was going to ask Ben, are you sure you don't have one?
Let's put it this way. I think he's going to be their quarterback again next year.
Right. I think so, too. And part of that is financial, like you mentioned. But, I mean, are we sure they don't have one? Yes, I understand. Like you said, they're not asking him to do a ton. Isn't that kind of the point, though? Like that caller Ben just said, to compliment what Jonathan Taylor's doing. I don't know if Carson Wentz is not complimenting it, because you don't need to compensate for it. You just need to compliment it. And I feel like we're seeing maybe here that Wentz is capable of that, given it's been a bumpy ride for Wentz, so it's hard to fully evaluate.
That being said, if we're going to talk about all these veteran quarterbacks potentially on the move this offseason, if you're Indianapolis and Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson really are viable options, would you not do whatever you could to dump Carson Wentz on somebody else? Because the rest of that team seems like it would give a lot of the things that any veteran quarterback on the move might want. So, something to keep in mind. More of your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, you knew we had to do it, right? Die Hard's a Christmas movie. We'll book it next on ESPN Radio.
Hey, this is Alan Hahn.
And Bart Scott from The Bart and Hahn Show.
Wishing you a happy holiday season.
From all of us at ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter on to help us try and figure out who's going to be on the field for your favorite NFL team this weekend. We'll also get to your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio's got you covered for bowl game action, too. Tune in tomorrow night for the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. But till we get to then, it is Thursday around here on Candy and Golic Jr., and for the longest time, that has meant one thing and one thing only. It's time to play Book It, damn it. All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books!
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it. All right, guys, it is Book It. For anyone that's new here, this is how it goes. Our producer, Shannon, is going to read us the take. If we like the take, you shout Book It at the end here.
Really?
Feels good. It's loud. It's like Stephen A. Smith on First Take. You feel great. If you don't, you won't. We'll move on here. Shannon, are you ready?
I am ready. Wow, I said that before I pressed the on button.
All right. Came in hot.
All right, here we go.
Takes.
All right. Jimmy Garoppolo will pass for more than 2 touchdowns tonight against the Titans. Mike, you going to book that?
I am going to book this.
You can book
it. I think when you look at the way this offense is operated, I mentioned in the 6 weeks that we've seen right now, the winning streak for the San Francisco 49ers, the top 3 teams in terms of EPA on offense have been the Green Bay Packers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's a versatile attack. I think you'll see just enough from Jimmy Garoppolo. But on an evening where Elijah Mitchell, their starting running back, their rookie phenom, is going to be out, I think that'll be all the more reason for them to lean into Debo in that short area passing game, Amber.
That Tennessee defense was elite at one point in the season. I mean, they forced 11 turnovers during their 6-game winning streak. Since that time, though, the Titans D has registered only a couple takeaways. We talked about this game ad nauseum earlier, where both Mike and I feel like the San Francisco 49ers are just firing on all cylinders at the right point in the season, and the Titans continue to get more and more decimated by injuries and now COVID. So, sure, I'll book it.
Put it in the books!
All right, Amber, my New York Giants should move on from Daniel Jones. You going to book it?
Oh, this is a tough one for me. I will not book it.
Really?
You want me to. I know, Shannon, you want me to. I just feel like they're going to disappoint you. I don't know where they're turning to if they get rid of Daniel Jones. Now, is there some sort of scenario where you can get like a Russell Wilson type acquisition? Fine. That would obviously be an upgrade. But I think that the moves that you're going to see from that Giants team is maybe going to start with the GM. I actually don't think that you're moving on from Joe Judge yet. And frankly, I don't know if you're going to end up moving on from Jones because of that, if Joe Judge stays where he is.
I would say book it.
Ding, ding, ding.
But you should only move on from him if you're going to move on from Joe Judge. And if you're not, then you're going to keep that in place. I agree with Amber. Those two are going to end up tied at the hip. And quite frankly, if I'm a fan, I'm looking at this and saying, do I want to hand a rookie quarterback to a head coach who, again, if we see in these situations, if there is a rookie drafted by the Giants next year, I would be almost certain that would be Joe Judge's last season. Because what have we seen time and time again from coaches who limp into a season with a rookie quarterback under their helm? Look what's about to happen to Matt Nagy. It usually doesn't end well for you. So the Giants should, but I ultimately don't believe they will.
All right, Mike. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Are you going to book that, Mike?
I'm going to book it, but mostly because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. We're beyond. We have ascended into the astral plane beyond a world where we need to debate Die Hard being a Christmas movie or not. Because right, wrong, or indifferent, Amber, it is a movie discussed enough at Christmas. It has become one of those stock debates. It's the LeBron Jordan of the Christmas holiday season, which means that no matter what you think, you're talking about it around this time of year, which makes it part of Christmas canon.
That's a fair assessment, but I'm not booking this.
Damn that.
Because ultimately, it was wrong to begin with. Like, it was a bad take to begin with. Die Hard was never a Christmas movie. Maybe Mike Golic Jr. is right that it's become one because of the discussion around it, but it was an action movie where Christmas made a very short appearance. Great movie, but not a Christmas movie.
Christmas can have action movies. Jingle All the Way. Ding, ding,
but
the, ding.
But Christmas needs
ding,
to be
ding, ding.
Like the point of the movie. And it ain't the point of Die Hard.
All right, well, even though we may disagree on this front, again, we're still talking about it, which I think makes my point. I can understand your grievances with this, but at this time, I'm still going to rock with it. I feel like we'll never fully put this to bed, and that is the beauty of it. It is the gift that keeps on giving each and every year. Coming
in
up
fairness,
next time,
I didn't have a choice in talking about it. Shannon put it on the rundown.
That is, listen, I didn't. We didn't either. We were bound by our producer. Once again, he walked us into something that we weren't ready for and didn't prepare for. Could not push back on here. That is the world that we live in sports talk.
Something
radio.
About great power and great responsibility. I've heard that somewhere.
It's somewhere here. Someone's Aunt May. Coming up next, though. With all the news around COVID-19 heading into this weekend, we will check in with our ESPN NFL insider, Adam Schefter, find out who's going to make the cut and be on the field. We'll do that after we tell you about Man in the Arena. Join host Gotham Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady's meant to football and the world. The world. Man in the Arena, new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. It's a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career. Things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, and fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And stream the docuseries on ESPN+. Adam Schefter next on ESPN Radio.
Hey, everyone, this is Chris Canty.
And Mike Golic Jr. from Canty and Golic Jr.
Wishing you a happy holiday season.
From all of us right here at ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And the story across all sports right now as leagues continue to brace for the impact of the latest outbreak of COVID-19, the new variant, and all of the complications that arise. For more on how the NFL and its teams are dealing with that heading into Week 16, we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, who joins us now. And Schefty, focus today, or at least a lot of it, seems to be on the New Orleans Saints here. Their quarterback room, one of the many on that team, hit by the COVID-19 outbreak. What can you tell us about the status of this team at that position and the rest of the roster heading into this weekend?
Well, Mike, they had 9 players today who tested positive and were placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, including their top 2 quarterbacks, Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian. And that would leave Ian Book as the quarterback who is in position to start on Monday night against Miami. But I would say to you this, that quarterback room was placed on COVID. Who's to say that Ian Book isn't going to be ruled a close contact or somehow develop the virus himself? You hope not. You hope that's not what the case is, but we've seen it time and time again. We're seeing the NBA with players every day. More and more players testing positive once one or two players on a team test positive, and you just hope that Ian Book will be spared and that he will be able to start on Monday night.
Yeah, so Adam, of course, the Saints are far from the only team in the NFL dealing with COVID issues. The Ravens are another one of those teams. A decimated Ravens team is taking on a very healthy Bengals team on Sunday. Who's going to be under center for the Ravens?
Well, for the second straight day, Lamar Jackson didn't practice. He actually has not practiced since December 12th due to the bone bruise in his right ankle. And the fact that he didn't practice again today on a second straight day when he didn't practice last week would seem to suggest that Tyler Huntley is in line to start again in a game the Ravens have to win. Now, Tyler Huntley played very well last week, but there is only one Lamar Jackson. And right now, unless there's some very impressive comeback, it looks like Tyler Huntley will be the guy behind center on Sunday for Baltimore. Now, Lamar just, again, is taking some time to get over that bone bruise, and if he's not healthy, and he's not Lamar, then you have to play Tyler Huntley anyway. And obviously the signs and the way this week is going are pointing to Huntley starting again.
Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Adam Schefter. So that one, again, injury for Lamar Jackson. For the Cleveland Browns in that same division, though, Schefty, who are going to play on Saturday, Baker Mayfield, one of the two quarterbacks in that room in the COVID protocol last week that forced them to miss the game here. What's the latest on Baker Mayfield and his status for this weekend?
Yeah. Mike, the Browns believe he'll be back for that game against the Packers. They need him back. But again, now you get him back. Really, 2 weeks he hasn't practiced. What's his timing going to be like with the players? It's not like he needs to practice, but it's not an ideal circumstance under which to step into Green Bay and Lambeau Field and try to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I don't know that Baker Mayfield's going to have his A game, but they do believe that he'll make it back by then, and he'll be out there behind center in another game that the Browns have to win.
Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider, and the Adam Schefter Podcast, joining us here on Canty and Golic Jr. Amber Wilson filling in for Chris Canty. So since, Adam, we're talking about injuries in the NFL, who's not available? Let's stick with that theme. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a second. We know what happened there with Chris Godwin and Leonard Fournette. What are the concerns there injury-wise for the Tampa Bay Bucs? How are they handling it?
Well, Amber, they're vast right now. Leonard Fournette officially was placed on injured reserve today, so he's out for the remainder of the regular season. Now, they do think that he'll be ready for the playoffs, but Fournette is finished for the regular season, so we'll have to turn to Ronald Jones and Le'Veon Bell and Keyshawn Vaughn and whoever else they believe in the backfield. The wide receiver, we know Chris Godwin tore his ACL, done for the season, terrible for him, and scheduled to be a free agent after the year. Mike Evans didn't practice the last couple of days. He's got a hamstring injury. He's had a history of hamstring injuries throughout the course of his career. So even though they're labeling him as week to week, it's hard to imagine that they're going to rush him back when they know that they have the bigger picture in mind and are going to want him back for the postseason. So I would be surprised if Mike Evans plays this week. Antonio Brown, I expect to be out there this week. They'll need him. But no Fournette, no Godwin, and I would think no Evans this week at least.
Adam, a lot of those affecting the games coming up this weekend. I want to look a little beyond that. Daniel Jones shut down by the New York Giants for the remainder of this season here. Has there been any more prognosticating on what the long-term outcome of this may mean for his career in New York?
Well, I think, Mike, that they think part of the reason they're shutting him down is they think it's in his best interest to return next season. They don't believe it to be a long-term injury right now, but it's enough that they don't want to rush him back. Look, they've been eliminated from the playoffs. There's no reason to bring him back right now. Let him get well. Let him rest up for next year. I believe that they intend to have him back next season as their quarterback. And so they're going to say basically take some time, shut it down. And I think maybe we'll get Jake Fromm this week starting against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Adam, we're talking about all these injuries and everybody in the COVID protocols. I mentioned earlier that the Cincinnati Bengals are healthy. Are they the healthiest team in the NFL right now?
I don't know if there's any healthy team. I mean, the Bengals have not dealt with some of the things that the other teams have, and it certainly seems like Joe Burrow gets beat up each week he plays. Takes a lot of punishment in that pocket. So, and look, the other thing is, we could have said last week the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were one of the healthier teams. And it could change just like that. Bam.
Okay, so yeah, they're healthy right now. That's good, but there are still 3 weeks left, and anything could happen any single week.
It's certainly been one of the more variable seasons and variable finishes to a season we have seen in quite some time here. Adam, we always appreciate the insight and information. Thanks. Have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holiday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy Holidays and Happy New Year to you, Mike, Amber, and everybody listening today.
Adam Schefter. Check out the Adam Schefter podcast wherever you get your podcasts there, onomatopoeia and all. Coming up next, though, it is time. We said it was the list so big, vast, and important that we needed two segments to do it. Our top five Christmas movie lists. Amber gave us hers earlier. I'll give you mine next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Danny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Talk to Andrea Kramer coming up in about 10 minutes here. A legend joining us on the show. We also want to hear from you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want your Christmas wish for your favorite team. You know what? Let's get one in. Let's get Mike in Pennsylvania. Mike, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. Who's your team? What's your wish? Mike, you there?
Thank you, man.
All right, Mike's
not.
His
radio appears to be there.
I was going to say, not only not there, but we can hear him on his car radio here. Some of the best laid plans of mice and men. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Call in, and in this case, don't be like Mike. In the meantime, though, we got important business to get to. Before we get to anything going on in Thursday Night Football, before we set you up for Christmas weekend, we have got to get you through our final list here. We've been making our list, checking them twice all week long, finding out who the best of the best are when it comes to Christmas snacks, songs, traditions, and now we got movies today. Amber, kind enough to give us her list already. Allow me to get the last list out here before we go to holiday break. Devin, number five.
Number five.
Number five. Friday After Next. I just feel like of the Friday movies out there, certainly the one that we see very near and dear to this time of year, getting to Santa coming up and robbing the place here, makes for a good time. I love the Friday movies, Amber. It's an easy holiday shoehorn in here. I see no issues here.
Friday After Next was a great remake, which the list of great remakes, I guess, is a very short one, right? That's a great movie. That is a great nomination by you. I completely forgot about Friday After Next as a Christmas movie. Well done.
Number four.
Number four. This one to me has to have its place in there. I know everyone's down because it's got 24 hours. For me, A Christmas Story is still up there. The Bumpus's dogs running through the kitchen. Oh, you know, only I didn't say fudge, helping his dad change the tire here. The Red Ryder BB gun with the compass and the stock. You'll shoot your eye out. They're all classics. They're all lines that even if you haven't seen the movie recently, I think is woven in and sewn into the fabric of everyone's DNA at this point. Amber.
I'm bad at this, though. I have asserted numerous times that I feel like being able to quote movies and recall movies from your childhood is a guy thing. I don't mean to sound sexist at all. It's just not something that's in my repertoire or in the repertoire of my girlfriends. And I yet have met many a man, including you, Mike Golic Jr., who can just rattle off movie lines like it's a game. And you are excellent at that. I do not remember any of those things that you just referenced. It's been so many years since I saw that movie, even though it's a classic.
Scott Farkas and his yellow teeth. Yellow teeth. And of course, who could forget, you actually in Cleveland can go and see the Christmas Story house, and in the window is the major award, the leg lamp. Who hasn't grown up with one of those or wanting one of those? Baby.
Number three.
Number three on this list is where we start to get a little bit off the rails here. Jingle All the Way. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sinbad going after Turbo Man, the coveted holiday toy here. I don't know what it is. I think I have an infatuation with most movies that involve Arnold Schwarzenegger yelling and screaming about anything, but there is just something about everyone involved in this one that came together, understood the assignment, and executed the right way.
I'm fairly certain I avoided this movie like the plague. I don't believe I've ever seen it. It didn't look like it was going to be a great movie by the marketing for that movie, so I can't really give you my opinion on the movie. I'm very skeptical of this being third on your list. There's no chance this is good.
No, but that's the beautiful part. Most holiday movies aren't supposed to be good.
Like it's this is so bad, it's good.
Yes, it's like most football movies. It's really hard to do a good one. Like
every movie on the Hallmark Channel. Bad, it's good.
But yeah, they're somehow great. And that's why Jingle All the Way checks in at number three on this one. Number two.
Number two.
Amber, this is where you and I sit eye to eye. We're reading from the same book on this one. Love Actually. I said, I had not seen it my entire life until last year. And
such
yet,
a good movie.
And yet, seeing that young boy tell his dad, hey, dad, let's go get the bleep kicked out of us by love. If I didn't stand up alone in my house and fist pump watching Buddy get me hyped for that, I just saw the Arizona Cardinals main account that had been absolutely raked over the coals for not putting out the final score after their loss this past weekend, decide to perform it with the Love Actually card move from that movie, putting it out, Christmas is a time when we tell the truth, to me you are perfect. That is how important this movie is to Christmas culture.
I agree with you. There has been some controversy around this movie of late, but what is there not controversy around? Like, people do criticize this movie and say this film isn't actually, you know, the warm, fuzzy, heartwarming film you remember. It's an excellent movie. It does give me the feels. I do question you watching it alone in your house, which is what we just learned you did like a year ago. That seems strange.
I live alone.
All right, but you just decided to fire up Love Actually a year ago? Like, this wasn't on a date, so this is just you in your house alone. You thought, you know what I haven't seen?
That's is there been something out wrong with
since
that, Amber?
2003? Love Actually.
I want to watch a movie.
Let me fire it up.
About God rest his soul, Alan Rickman's weird infidelity in this movie here? Like, why is he out here able to have his pick of the litter, by the way?
There is some weirdness in that movie, looking back on it.
Just, like, actually, strange. Like, though, he's going to be the one that's out here trying to cheat? I don't know.
Right.
Like, it's so sexy. I don't know.
Marital. Nothing says holiday like holiday spirit like marital problems.
Yes, exactly.
Which is really what that movie's all about.
I can say, stay woke on this one. Open up your third eye. Love Actually. Actually a dark commentary on the status of relationships in this country. Number one.
Number one.
It's a great movie, though. Number one. It was on your list, Amber, but I don't think nearly high enough. When I go into every holiday season, there are very few movies that I have to watch that I know without a shadow of a doubt will make me feel the way I want to around this time of year. Which, like you said, the opposite of Love Actually. Joyous, happy, effortlessly so. Elf. It's ascended to the mountaintops for me, Amber. It is equal parts, like you said, Will Ferrell in one of the roles where he does knock it out of the park. Mm-hmm. But Zooey Deschanel's voice, finding out that one of my favorite actresses had golden pipes and now obviously contributes to SiriusXM Holly all the time with some great songs and covers and remakes, but she was an absolute juggernaut in that movie. In the bathroom singing scene, iconic.
It is iconic. That is an iconic scene. I shouldn't be surprised when we find out that actresses are also good singers. Like, I feel like that's a common thing in entertainment where a lot of people who act can sing or a lot of people who sing can act because they're just so talented. She's absolutely one of those people. Like I said earlier when I was giving you my list, it was a great movie. It was a movie I went into with very low expectations. Because, by the way, like Jingle All the Way, it kind of looks stupid to me based on the previews, based on the marketing. Will Ferrell, as brilliant as he can be, not everything is knocking it out of the park for him. He absolutely has a hit with Elf. It's timeless and classic. It is a good movie. It's not just a funny movie. It's actually a very good movie, too.
Like I say, there's a lot of warmth and heart to this movie. It's got one of those random lines that I love saying out of context all the time. Not now, Arctic puppets.
You saying a line from a movie out of context?
I am shocked. Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. It's got it all there. So again, the top five Christmas movies, holiday movies of the season, courtesy of myself and Amber, at Mike Golick Jr. on Twitter, at AmberW790. Again, my biggest takeaway from today is that Home Alone's wildly overrated. It's not a movie that you should waste your time on this holiday season. Shout out to Spencer Hall, college football writer extraordinaire, who also made the point that no dumb kid Kevin McAllister's age is going to be able to thwart me as a burglar in that way and bully me. It's not going to happen once he got to the treehouse, robbing that house blind. Coming up next, what's been the biggest catalyst for the 49ers turnaround this season? We will try and figure that out as we get you guys ready for Thursday Night Football next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.